Thank you, guys. Thank you for your service tonight. Thank you for your offering up your talents and your gifts to the Lord and leading us in the presence of God. A beautiful thing. Good evening. Good to see all of you. Can we just say thank you, Lord, for the rain for a moment? Huh? Let's just give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for rain and continual rain, steady rain. In Jesus' name. It's always an honor to be here. And I want to say thank you to Jim and Mitzi for, that's what I call her, and for inviting me back again and to be a part of this great thing. I know many of you have been here several nights, but I want to just encourage you to never take something like this for granted. This is a real special thing that's happening here, you know, and God is doing awesome things. There are deposits being made in your life and seeds being sown that you know, you'll see immediate change, but then there are things that you're going to see gradually, you know, and even through this next year, there's going to be harvest of what you have received of the word tonight and all of these nights. So just be looking for that. There's something that at the beginning of this year, I was just praying about our church. I pastor a church called One Cause Church in McKinney, Texas. And we have a couple of different campuses along with us, but our main campus is in McKinney. And as I was praying for the beginning of this year for our church, Jeremiah 33:3 has become our theme. And it says this, simply says this, "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know." And so that's what I want. I want to experience God in a way that I haven't experienced him. Great and mighty things. That's what he longs to reveal to you. See, he can be trusted in that way. The secret things of God, the things that are yet to be known, are great and mighty things. They're nothing to fear. They're only something to embrace. So I just want to encourage you in that and to not just average in your relationship with God, but go for the gusto. All right, go for all he has for you, because he has so much to give. So much to give. Amen. And listen, if you don't speak in tongues, that's a good start. That's a real good start for your life. First of all, get saved. You know, believe on Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead. All right, it's that simple. That's the gospel. It's all about Jesus. Nothing about our doing. It's just about our believing on him. All right? God made it easy for us. Jesus did all the hard part. Thank God for that. He died for us. He died for our sins. He died for our failures. In other words, God blamed Jesus for every wrong thing we've ever done or ever will do. Imagine that. And he was pleased to do it. So that he could look at you like he looks at Jesus. Perfect, blameless, holy, and above reproach. Now, I know you're living with you. Right? You know what goes through your mind and you know the things you've said and done. But you got to remember, we're spirits first. We're spirits first. That's the essence of who we are. I am a spirit and I have a soul and I live in a body. But this body isn't who you really are, not if you're in Christ. Hallelujah. You're a whole new creation. Hey, listen, it's better than being a sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, by God. No, it's better than that. Listen, if it's just a sinner saved by grace, then Jesus' blood didn't do any more than the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. All he did was cover. No, Jesus eradicated your sin. He created you all over again, made you a whole new creation, brand new from the inside out. You're not a sinner if you're in Christ. You are now a saint. Now you're saved by grace. Hallelujah. Because if you continue to think that way, that old religious thinking, I'm just an old sinner. I have to say it like that, all right? I'm just an old sinner saved by God. Well, guess what? All you're saying is, Jesus did something great for me, but I know the real me. And nothing could be further from the truth. You've talked yourself right out of the truth. And if you continue to think that way, all you'll do is make excuses for sinning. You'll never really come into victory. Because when you do fail, when you do falter, you go, well, after all, we're just sinners saved by grace. Well, thank God for us. No, he's called you to live in victory. All right, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law. You're under grace. Hallelujah. You're not living by a code of rules and regulations. Thank God that day's over. Amen. You live under grace, and His grace is what causes you to live way above sin. But listen, if you don't know who you are, then you won't know what to do. You won't know how to live your life. You have to understand you are a child of the living God. You are sons of God. This is what Jesus has done for us. He didn't just hire us and make us all employees in the kingdom of God. Huh? He made us sons. See, God sowed a seed called a son. And God had a rule on planet Earth. The seed must produce after its own kind. So when He sowed that seed and that seed went into that ground and died, it produced many sons. He's no longer the only begotten Son of God. He was at one time, but now the Scripture says He's the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. I want you to turn to somebody and tell them, you are just like Jesus. You're just like Him. Let me say this to you. I just want to help you tonight. You are just as much a Son of God as Jesus is. Just as much. Which means you are just as secure as a Son of God as Jesus is. Otherwise, the seed didn't produce after its kind. I have a feeling God made sure that that crop had no failure. When that seed went to the ground, He got exactly what He sowed. All right? You can bank on it. So that's who you are now. Now, you got to talk your mind into that, and you got to talk this body into that. All right? And that's one step at a time. One day at a time, one choice at a time, one confession at a time. Amen? We walk by faith. Sometimes I wish we could bullet train or fly a jet plane by faith, but we walk by faith, one step after another. And just as much as He is the author and the finisher of our faith, that means He's also the all-in-between. All right? See, God is not waiting at the end of your life going, would you finally get it right? He's not waiting at the finish line of your life going, I'm waiting on you. No, God is right now in the process of your life. He's just as much in the process as He is in the finished product. Amen. That's good news. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 19. I'm a husband of one woman still. I'm grateful for that. She's still my first wife. We've been made August to be 22 years. We have a 20-year-old daughter. My God in heaven, I don't know how that happened. We have an 18-year-old daughter. Our oldest daughter is Maddie Claire, and she's attending Christ for the Nations, where I graduated college years ago. My dad graduated. We actually both teach there. My brother teaches there too. So, bless her heart, she's surrounded. And this past semester, we were all in the same yearbook. You know, my dad's the director. I'm one of the professors there, and my brother is, and then Maddie's one of the students. And I opened up the yearbook, and we're going through it. I said, hey, sweetheart, not every kid can say that they're in the same yearbook as their dad and their grandpa. So I was telling one of my students that's from West Virginia. He goes, you can say that in West Virginia. Yeah, well, maybe so. But and then our second child, Laurel Elise, she's 18. She just graduated high school, and she's about to go into beauty school. And, boy, she's all about the makeup, my Lord in heaven, and cutting hair and all that. She's all about style, and she's good at it, too. And then our son, John Dillon, who he goes by Dillon, and he's 15, and he's about to be a sophomore in high school. So I send greetings from all of them to you, and from our church, One Cause Church, and we're blessed to be here tonight. Psalm chapter 19, we found Psalms chapter 19. We're going to look at two verses from here and learn some really good things. I've just titled this message, A Victorious Outcome. A Victorious Outcome. While you're turning there, this man was sitting at a coffee shop, and these two big old women walked in. And as they walked by, he noticed that they had interesting accents. So he said, pardon me, ladies, I noticed your accent's different. Would you happen to be from England? And one of them scoffed at him, oh, it's Wales, you buffoon. He says, I'm sorry, pardon me, Wales. Are you from England? All right. Let's get into the Bible now. Verse 7 of Psalms chapter 19. Are you ready? Have you found it?
Yeah.
Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, Father, I thank you that you do enlighten our eyes tonight. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ to be upon your people. Lord, we don't want to be the same when we leave here tonight. We want to know you more. We want to have a greater understanding, Lord. We want to be changed by your word because your word teaches us it is life to those who find it and it is health to all of their flesh. So we receive your word and its full impact in our lives tonight. We open up our hearts to you now, Lord. Plant that seed deep in our hearts so that it will produce the God kind of life for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Now, for you and I today in this new covenant, the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment of the Lord as spoken here by David simply mean for you and I the Word of God. All right? It's the Word of God. We're not under a law, but we are under the Word. It's that word that guides us. It's that word that's able, sharper than any two-edged sword, the scripture says, and it's able to pierce even to the division of soul and spirit. Imagine how sharp that sword has to be that it can cut between soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, which means the word is the answer for every dimension of man, spirit, soul, and body. It's life for every part of who you are, every fiber of your being. But one of the things I appreciate about it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank God that it's not judging me by what's going on up here. Huh? But it sees what's in my heart. All right, God knows what's in your heart. That's what he's looking at because that's the real you. This is your central believing system. All right? And so he's looking at you. And sometimes we don't say the right words or think the right thoughts that line up with the thoughts of our heart. Let me just say this. As a child of God, every thought of your heart is right and pure. So that's what God is looking at. That's what he's discerning in your life. All right? So when these thoughts come up here, don't identify with these thoughts because these thoughts are not the thoughts of the heart. All right? This is a battleground up here. Oh, we got all kinds of funky things happening up here. We got a devil that's lying in one ear, telling us all kinds of stuff, making us, you know, putting these word pictures in our head. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you can be worshiping God and all of a sudden the foulest thought come right through your mind. Am I the only one? Okay, I guess I'm the only one. All right, I'll be the only one. I'll be the only honest one here. Right? I mean, just the craziest stuff go through your mind. You know, and I used to do this. Oh, God. I was all into worship, and then all of a sudden, this foul thought came through my mind. Oh, I just shouldn't do this. I'm not right with God. Something's wrong. No. That's not who you are, what's coming up, what's going on in here. The mind. We have to set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. All right? So just because a thought comes in your head doesn't mean that was birthed from you. All right? There are all kinds of voices coming into our lives. You know, you turn on the TV and it's the influence of those voices coming in and all kinds of things. And so what really matters is what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth will change what you think. I'm telling you, you can change your thoughts by what comes out of your mouth because ultimately your entire life is following your tongue. And all your thoughts and everything else will line up with that. Amen. Okay, So we're under the word. We're children of promise. Thank God. We're not children of bondage. So I want to get some things to you that you can expect the Word of God to produce in you, that can produce in your life, that where there's all, you'll always experience a victorious outcome. This is what we're pressing toward, right? Pressing into victory. So tonight, let me just say this something about pressing into victory. It's a real, you know what it is? It's a rest. Sometimes we get pressed, we think about pressing, we think about striving and straining, but in Christ it's a total rest. All right? Matter of fact, let me just give you maybe another picture of spiritual warfare. Now, when I was growing up, and we talked about spiritual warfare a lot, especially in the 80s and that kind of stuff, and we were binding stuff out in the heavens and casting stuff out and all kinds of stuff. and you know, over our city and all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate those times, but I think we were still in a lot of ignorance during that time. And it's just striving and straining in the heavenlies and warring in the heavenlies and all those kinds of things. But really, spiritual warfare, if you really know who you are and know what Christ has done for you, it looks something like this. It's not so much, but maybe it's just this. Because Jesus Christ sat down like it was done. He's not up there going, come on, we got to beat that devil. He sat down like he was already beat. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And guess what else he did? He seated you there with him in the heavenly places. You are in a, my family, you are reigning right now. You're reigning right now. You cannot get in a higher seat of authority than next to Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. So he did all the work. He did all the work. He did everything that was necessary for us to live in victory every day of our lives. I want to encourage you, stop straining and striving in your own way, because the scripture says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. I get a little picture of this in Psalm chapter 23. Everybody know Psalm 23? You been to a funeral lately? You probably heard it there. It's not just for funerals. It's a really great passage of scripture, but it is a very comforting passage of scripture. One of the things that David says in that is, you prepare a table before me. A table before me. Where? In the presence of my what? Now, isn't that a strange picture? When you think about a prepared table where you got a feast, you think about maybe Thanksgiving, you got family and friends over. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, what he's saying is, why don't you just sit down and feast? There's nothing your enemies can do about it. Because the work is done. And the word of God is what you feast on. And if you'll feast on the word of God, the enemy is no match for you. He's no match for you. You can't physically beat him, and you can't mentally beat him. I mean, I'd like to physically beat the devil sometimes. You know, sometimes you get so mad you think you could take him, but you couldn't. But you win every time with the word. Nothing he could do. Even Jesus Christ himself showed us that example when he was even being tempted of the devil. There's a poll there, guys, by the way. When he was being tempted of the devil, every time he answered that temptation with, it is written. I mean, I'm thinking, Jesus, this is your moment to show off. I mean, come on. Why don't you snap your fingers and make his head spin around on his shoulders or something? You know, just show him how powerful you are. He said, no, it is written. Every time, this is how I overcame temptation. It's written. It's written. Why? Because Jesus is convinced that the word is all you need. Amen. So he came to show us that we can win by getting the word in our mouth every time. And there's no tactic, there's no temptation that can overcome you if you'll just declare what God has said. Well, that was better preaching than amen, but I don't have time to wait for you. All right. We'll give you these thoughts here tonight. And if you're taking notes, then write this down. If you're not, start taking notes. Grab a pen and a paper. The word brings you back to where you belong. The word brings you back to where you belong. Number two, the word gives you better understanding. Number three, the word fills you with joy. And number four, the word helps you see what you can't see. That's what we're going to take from this passage. The law of the Lord is perfect. Verse 7, converting the soul. The word converting means to bring back home again. I love that passage of scripture. There used to be this, I just lost his name. Country artist, Tracy Lawrence. Anybody remember Tracy Lawrence? He had he talked about, there was a song where he talked about the yellow bulb still being on the porch light, leading him home. This is kind of what I get from this picture. That old yellow bulb. You see home in the distance. And it's the word bringing you back to where you belong. Bringing you back home where you belong. That's what the word conversion means. Isn't that a powerful thing? There's something so comforting about this. It gives you and I a real sense of belonging. When my brother and I were kids, we were raised in southern Oklahoma the first part of our lives, and we lived on the front part of our grandparents' farm, and my dad had some horses and stuff, and so we got to ride horses as kids and help my grandparents garden and all that kind of stuff, and but we were always outside, always playing in the woods there and getting bit by stuff and rashes all the time, but we didn't care. We loved it. But then we moved to San Angelo. Now, San Angelo was like big city to us. Anybody ever been to San Angelo, Texas? Well, you were going there on purpose because it's on the way to nothing. You have to. That has to be your destination if you're heading out there. But we moved out there, and at the time, I think it was around 100,000 people there. Well, our town in Thackerville, Oklahoma, had about 200 at the time we left it. So it was a big change. We didn't have a stop. They still, to this day, don't even have a stoplight in Thackerville. It's got a stop sign right there on Main Street. That's it. And we moved out to San Angelo, and so it was big. And so we didn't know what city blocks were. We moved in town. We were in the suburb there. And so Dad taught us, and anytime he needed us to come home, he would whistle for us. And he told us, he said, you stay within the hearing of my whistle. If you get outside of that, you don't hear my whistle, you're going to be in big trouble. Now, mind you, we could go several city blocks because my dad had a mean whistle because he was used to hollering, whistling for his horses to come and eat. And so he could whistle a long way. So we'd go several blocks away. And so we knew no matter where we were, no matter what we were doing, the moment we heard his whistle, we had to beeline back home or it was pain. You know, pain's a great teacher, isn't it? You can forget a lot of things, but we all like to tell our pain stories because we remember them so well. And after enduring such hostility on our backside, we knew we had to get home, otherwise we would incur the wrath of John Holler. So we decided not to do it. And anyway, so we were out with a friend. We had a friend named Dave Levesque and lived a few blocks down from us. And so we were out riding one day, and we were actually still just getting to know each other. And we're a few blocks away from there. All of a sudden, we hear that whistle. Oh, there's the whistle. We got to go. And Dave's like, what whistle? What are you talking about? He wasn't trained to that whistle. Matter of fact, Dave didn't even have a right to the whistle because he wasn't a son. Yeah. It didn't mean anything to him. But it meant everything to us because we were in the family. Yeah. And let me say this to you, that your heavenly Father, see, your Christian walk with God, it's so much higher than obligation. It's so much better than obedience. No. This is far beyond that. This is you being in the family. And God has a right to speak correction into your life, to speak instruction, and to guide you, and to encourage you, and to help you along the way. And you have a right as his children to say, yes, sir. Yes. Because this is a family thing. Not everybody gets in on this. There are those on the outside that don't understand why you live the way you do. That's okay. They're not in the family yet. Huh? Because you belong to him, he has the right to lead you in that way. The scripture says, as many as received him, he gave the right to become the sons of God. That's an interesting thing to me. He gave us the right. When we received him, we got rights. We got rights that not everybody has. You have rights in the family of God. One of those rights is, we talked about, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time. And one of those rights is, as John said, perfect love has been perfected in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Whoa. Not everybody's going to have that right. It's going to be trepidation for many on that day, but not for you. It's your right to stand there boldly saying, I'm here on the merits of Jesus. Not by my own works of righteousness, but by his mercy he saved me. Amen. I was driving down Highway 75. Now, 75 goes from McKinney down to Dallas, and the school where I teach there is about 30 miles or so from my house. So it's 3 days a week going down 75, or it's also called Central Expressway. And one day, as I was heading down 75, I noticed that a police officer was coming up on the on-ramp, and right next to me. The moment that I noticed him, my foot immediately came off the accelerator and just sneaked over right to cover the brake, and I quickly zoned in on my speedometer. I placed my hands at 10 and 2. I felt like I was 16 years old again trying to pass the driving test. His presence there totally affected my decision-making and driving. You know what? He did nothing to get in my space. He wasn't trying to pull me over or anything. But it changed my behavior, just the fact that he was near me, just the fact that he was there. A couple of miles down the road, though, he exited off, and I went back to Eric Holler driving because I no longer had to deal with his presence. The Word of God is a constant reminder to you that you are no longer who you used to be. Praise God for that. You're now holy. You're now righteous. You're bought with a price. The very precious blood of Jesus Christ himself purchased you, took all your sins away. So choose him. Choose his word. Choose to let his word bring you back home again. Amen. And to convert you, and choose to hear it. Choose to believe it and confess it, because it always brings you back to where you belong. Let it influence your daily decisions, your behavior, and your attitude. Say this with me. The word brings, me back. To where I belong. Look at the latter part of verse 7. Is this all right tonight? Okay. The testimony. I can preach hellfire and brimstone if you want me to. Okay. 7. Nah, I don't want to do that. 7b. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm grateful for this because I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm grateful that God offers somebody like me wisdom. And gives me better understanding. The word gives you better understanding. Wisdom is the result of having the knowledge of the truth. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 that's kind of sad. It says, Paul's talking about those who are teachers of the law, and it says that they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a sad way to live a life. Always learning, but never knowing what the truth is. Wisdom is the reward that you get. And I think the older you get, you realize this. Wisdom is what you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Husbands, you know what I'm talking about. Wives, you do too. Sometimes wisdom is spoken. Sometimes it's silent. I used to work for this prayer center in Dallas when I was a student at Christ for the Nations for a preacher by the name of Robert Tilton. Anybody know who Robert Tilton is? Pastored Word of Faith Church in Dallas years and years ago. Great, great church. And he hired Christ for the Nations students to come over to his phone counseling center. He did a TV ministry, a show called Success in Life. And so he would help people get out of debt and all kinds of things and sow seeds. And I mean, lots of miracles happened. But we were there to pray for the people as well as when they made their vows or their pledges to the ministry. And so we were all in these little cubicles and we had this little headset on and these calls would come in. And so we're in training and we're supposed to do 40 hours of training. And just by watching, y'all remember VHS tapes? Okay. All right. Anyway, watching these VHS tapes and learning what to do in these different scenarios. Well, we get about 20 hours or so, about halfway through, and they say, we need you guys out on the phones right now because the lines are jammed and we need as many counselors as we can. So I'm thinking, oh, we haven't done 40 hours. Doesn't matter. Get out there. So we got out there, and my first call was a suicide call. And so immediately, I'm panicked, right? I'm like, I'm 18 years old. I'm like, oh, you know, of course, thank God for the mute button on the phone because I'm hitting mute and listening to the person. I'm going, God, please help me right now. This is freaking me out. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to, I felt the peace of God come over me. And the cool thing was is that they gave me this folder. And this folder had nothing but scriptures in it. Like, we had an index of needs, whatever it might be, healing or even suicide, depression, all those things. And so I could go to that page with that heading of that need, and then they give me a whole line of scriptures with it. It was powerful. So I started flipping through the pages, and I said, hey, let me just read you, you know, from the Word and give you what God has said. I'm fumbling over my words thinking, God, please use me here. This person's life is at stake. I don't want to be the reason why they continue on to with this. So I just began to read the Word. And as I'm reading the Word, I sense the lady on the other line begins to cry. And as she does, I just begin to talk to her about the love of God and how much he loves her and the life that he gave to her is precious. And if she'll take her life and offer it to him because it's a gift to her, what she does every day of her life, she can offer that as a gift to him. And she just said, thank you so much. And I prayed with her, and she did not kill herself, thank God. And you know, hopefully she went on to live a victorious life. But it's those moments. The Word of God gives wisdom when I didn't have the wisdom, but I had a Word. Right? And so it gives wisdom to those that are simple. And I'm grateful for it. But there are also times when the Scripture teaches us to be still, to be quiet. Right? And the greatest, one of the greatest things that we can do for one another is to listen. You know, in this day and age of social media, which is mostly people just ranting what they want to say, right? It's just more avenues for people to talk. I just did a little experiment not too long ago. Half a mile from my house, there's a light. And I turned that light, went right on that at that light, and half a mile to my house, and I wanted to see how many people were on the phone. I passed 7 cars, 6 people were on the phone out of 7 cars. Right? So it's people are just talking. And the art of listening is going away if we don't do something about it. My grandma used to say, that's why you got 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you do twice as much listening as you do talking. But something my dad taught me years ago when I was first getting into the ministry and doing some counseling, one of the things he taught me was, son, one of the things that you can do for people that will really help them is to really just listen. And don't try to interrupt them. Don't try to come up with a solution. Just listen to them. Sit and listen for a while. So we had this lady come, and she's a very needy lady. At this point, I'm an associate pastor at a church, and I'm the guy that was called the counselor there. So I'd spent a few times with her and other pastors and stuff, and so she's coming in, so I know what to expect. I know she's going to cry a lot, and it's just going to be very needy. Which, that's what I'm here for, right? It's part of the deal. So she comes in, and she sits down in the office, and so I sit behind the desk, and sure enough, she starts doing it. And all along the way, I feel like I've got some solutions to her problems, right? So I'm tempted to say, hey, I know what to do right here. But I remember my dad's words saying, just listen. So I sat and I just listened. I had to bite my tongue a few times and just listen. And she's just pouring everything out, just pouring her soul out. And she's crying, and I'm just feeding her Kleenexes, right? And 45 minutes, hour goes by. And I haven't said a word. I've just sat and listened to her. And then just like that, she goes, okay, I feel so much better. Pastor Eric, thank you. Thank you for helping me today. I'm not kidding. Thank you so much. I was like, yeah, you bet. Yeah, anytime. And she got up, and she walked through the door, and she left. I didn't say a word. I didn't even pray with her, nothing. She did. Well, she went out with joy. An extraordinary thing. And I thought, wow, that's the wisdom of God. Because all along the way, and she just had to get some things out. You know, people can many times solve their issues, solve their problems if they can just talk to somebody. Because we as believers, we really do know what to do. Huh? Sometimes we just need to bounce it off somebody. Because Jesus said, as Brandon was saying last night, my sheep hear my voice. All right? We know how to hear from God. We just don't always do what he tells us to do. Isn't that the real problem? All right. Amen. The Word is the sure thing in your life. It will counsel you, it will instruct you, it will empower you with better understanding than all the education available in this world. It will guide you to speak and act as well as to know when to be silent and to listen. What I love about the wisdom of God, it removes complexities. It takes away confusion. It reveals God's knowledge to us because the Word is sure. You can be sure then. And you know what the Bible says about the wisdom of God? He gives it liberally to those who ask. To those who ask in faith. Anybody need some wisdom tonight? If you're in a situation right now where you need the wisdom of God, I want you to raise your hand right now. I just want to lead you into confession. Say, Father, I thank you that you give wisdom to me liberally. So I receive it by faith. I believe you, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Gives you better understanding. Okay, let's go to verse 8 for a moment. How long have I been preaching, Brandon? About an hour. Okay. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The Word fills you with joy. Say, the Word fills me with joy. See, you know when your heart is glad, your whole life is glad. It's a happy heart is a happy life. Jesus, our Jesus said, he really did say it because he's all the book, but Proverbs 4:23 says, out of your heart flows the issues of life. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? It speaks. So there's no feeling like the feeling of joy. This says the statutes of the Lord are right. You know, one of the things I get accused of quite a bit, and I'm fine with that because I'd rather be happy than sad, is we preach about the goodness of God at our church all the time. We talk about His goodness. We talk about the gospel and the beauty of it. And I have guys come to me, all you ever talk about is feel-good sermons. All you ever do is preach feel-good sermons. When are you going to preach the truth? You can preach, and we gotta balance this whole thing. You gotta preach on sin too, brother. I said, how do you preach on sin? He goes like this: Christ died for my sins. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Christ died for my sins. Yeah. That's my message on sin. All right. Why do I need to be thinking about it all the time? Huh? If God got over it, why ain't I getting over it? If He did get over it, did He get over it? Yeah, He did, because He was in Christ reconciling the whole world to Himself. That means He got over our sin. Why bring up something that He's over? Yeah. Can I take you to a place right quick? Maybe this will help you tonight. Y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8, for you were once darkness. Say, I once was darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Since you are that, act like that. That's what it's saying. All right? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, here's what my legalistic friends do. See, we got to expose the darkness. Somebody got to talk about sin. All these greasy grace preachers out there, a sloppy agape, whatever they call us. Those name it and claim it preachers, health and prosperity preachers. Huh? Hyper grace. Goofballs. You know what they're talking about. Somebody got to preach this. See, we got to expose the darkness. You got to get that vibrato, you know. And you're really preaching. You got to expose the darkness. But see, why don't we continue to let the Bible talk to us for a moment? Yeah. All right, can we do that?
Yes.
For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done. Oh, so we don't expose them by talking about them. We don't expose them by preaching on it. Paul said it's shameful to do that. Whoa. How do we expose it then? How do we expose the darkness? What did God do when He stepped out of the darkness? He exposed it by saying, light be. All right, watch this. But all things that are exposed, verse 13, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So, we're light. How did we get light? How did we become light? Because Christ is our light. The gospel is a light to the world. That's what Jesus told Paul. I'm going to send you to preach this gospel as a light to the Gentiles. Yeah. All right? How do we expose the darkness? We preach the good news.
Yeah. We shine the light.
You cannot overcome the darkness by talking about the darkness. You overcome the darkness by turning on the light. Amen. And the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, I love it. Let me just quote a little bit of it for you. It's just so encouraging. It says, verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I don't know what my legalistic friends are preaching, but the Bible says we need to preach a gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Guess how that's going to make you feel?
Yeah.
Happy!
Yeah.
Joyful!
Yeah.
And then it removes the darkness from our lives. Amen. You just preach those feel-good sermons. You mean I preach the truth then?
Yeah.
Preach the word.
Yes.
How else are you supposed to feel when you hear good news? How else are you supposed to hear when you feel hear glad tidings? How else are you supposed to feel when you hear a gospel of peace?
Yeah.
See, when I was growing up, we didn't feel like we had church until we got beat up good. Anybody else going to that church?
Yeah.
It wasn't until the pastor had everybody at the altar repenting our eyes out. We didn't really have church until that altar was full this Sunday. Hallelujah. So tired of all that religion.
Yeah.
And you know what? People went to that altar and they cried their eyes out and they went back home, not changed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it never happened. I'm just saying not very often. Because if we felt like we had a good cry and we felt bad enough, then we were real sincere. I got out of that vicious cycle a long time ago. You know what? You know how? I stopped being ashamed of the gospel. I just stopped being ashamed of the gospel and believed that it was everything I needed. It's the power of God to salvation. Do you know, Christian, we all should tell people about Jesus, right? And I hope you're doing it. I hope that you're not afraid to do it. And I hope you're bold and I hope you're courageous in your testimony. But it is not your responsibility to get people saved. It's your responsibility to preach a gospel that saves. Okay? The gospel saves, not us. We just give them the message. I'm just a messenger. I'm just here to bring some good news to you. Amen. And if they'll believe that, they'll be saved. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. All right. Listen, joy is the continual anticipation of good. And there was a moment when Jesus was walking with his disciples and they said, Jesus, look at that temple. Isn't that extraordinary? And Jesus said, yeah, but that's going to be thrown down. You guys need to be setting your minds on eternal things. Remember when he sent them all out and they came back rejoicing and giving testimony to Jesus? They said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, hey, don't rejoice over that. Here's what you need to rejoice over, that your names are written in heaven. Because you're not going to be casting devils out every day. What if you don't do on those days? Are you still going to have joy? Huh? What if you're not doing these things every day? Listen to me. You got to set your joy on the permanent thing, on the eternal thing, so that you'll have joy every day of your life, no matter what you're experiencing in this world. Because the joy that he came to give it to you for good. This joy that he came to give you is not happened by happenstance or circumstance. You don't get happy because something good happens. Joy comes to you because your names are in heaven. You have a place called heaven as your home. You're citizens of the kingdom, and God is on your side. Hallelujah. So no matter what you face, I'm rejoicing. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Well, that's madness if you don't know what he's saying. Huh? That's the last thing you want to do. You know, Jim was talking yesterday about time flying, and people were always talking about time flying. Let me just give you a little test. If you feel like time is flying, fast.
Yeah.
It'll be the longest day of your life. Just try skipping a meal.
Yeah.
You can feel it every second. You're like you were in high school thinking, when is that clock ever going to hit 3 o'clock? Hmm? Or if you can't get any sleep at night, you have trouble sleeping, just open your Bible, start reading it. You'll fall right to sleep. Just try to pray in the Spirit. You'll fall right to sleep. Because your flesh, it hates. It's contrary to the things of the Spirit. Amen. Set your joy on heavenly things. What can you go? We're going to do one last thing, all right? Verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlightening the eyes. That is, the word helps you see what you can't see. Give me one second.
It works.
You can't see. He's there. It worked.
Okay. Let me ask you something about this tree limb. Is it alive? Is it alive? Does it look alive?
Yes.
But it's not alive?
No.
Why ain't it alive?
It's not.
I killed it. That's why it's not alive.
Yeah.
But you can't see evidence of that, can you? One of the biggest barriers to victory in your life is this thing called unforgiveness. Because it's deceptive. Because when someone hurts you or wrongs you, and unfortunately, oh, I'm sorry. When someone hurts you, I forgot. Hello, we're back! When someone hurts you or wrongs you, usually it's people that you love the most, like a spouse or family. Yeah. And then you got to see them all the time. Right? And so it keeps that thing kind of stirred up. And then when that feeling's there, and we're partly emotional beings, and so when we feel it, it's very real to us, isn't it? And so all the pain and maybe even just the anger, the resentment, and we've been told we need to forgive, and maybe we've even tried to say it out loud, but still the feeling was there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Again, it's probably just me, but the way the Word helps us understand, Jesus said to forgive. Now, under the law, it was a lot worse than what we have it. Under the law was, you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. But under the new covenant, it says, forgive because you've been forgiven. See, the scripture says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So you have already received all the forgiveness you're going to need from God. Confessing your sin don't get you any more forgiveness, by the way. Jesus already forgave you of your sins. Quit asking for forgiveness and change your mind and change your life. You already been forgiven. All right? Just repent and move on. Saying, asking Him to forgive you doesn't mean things have changed. He already forgave you. Okay, that's another sermon for another time, and we'll talk about that maybe. All right? So watch this. That forgiveness, that when we say that, when you say that I forgive, you have to understand that that is a choice that you're making. You don't forgive someone because you feel like forgiving them, otherwise you'll never feel like it, and you'll never forgive them. If you're waiting on things to feel right before you do it, it's not going to happen. You change how you feel by what you do, by how you think and what comes out of your mouth again. So you have to say, okay, the Lord has spoken to me. The Word of God tells me to forgive. All right, so what He's helping you see what you can't see and what you can't feel at the moment. So He says, forgive. So, okay, well, I've been forgiven, so I owe it to my brothers and sisters. I owe it to them to forgive them. It's only right. I don't have a right to harbor unforgiveness and bitterness. Besides that, the only future that's being sabotaged is yours. You're not hurting them one bit by holding anything on the inside against them. Not hurting them one bit. You're only hurting yourself. So you have to make this decision. And I've done this back. So I had a pastor, actually, a guy that I worked for, hurt me really bad. All right? And now that didn't mean I stopped submitting to pastors. I'm not a fool. All right? I had to change my mind. I had to consciously forgive this man. And not choose to go hog wild and say, well, forget the church because I've been hurt. Come on. When are we going to grow up and get over that?
Right.
Huh? And be bigger than that and be better than that. Okay, that's another sermon for another time. All right. So I had to consciously forgive this man because he was dear to me, and I really couldn't believe that he did what he did. And I'm not going to expose the darkness. But one day, I'm just going to be real honest with you. Is that okay if I get real honest with you? I was imagining myself physically beating this man up. All right? I was playing scenarios in my head. All right? Maybe I shouldn't have a microphone right now. I was angry. And I was in my bathroom, was looking in the mirror, brushing my teeth, thinking about ways to beat him up. And the Lord said to me, "How long are you going to do this? How long are you going to slow down your progress? How long are you going to continue in this way?" And I said, "As long as it takes." No, I said, "Well, Lord, okay." I knew what to do the moment he said it. I said, "Okay, I forgive now. I forgive him now." And I looked myself in the eyes in the mirror. I said, "You forgive him now. It's done." Now, let me say something. It was very much alive still in me. The feelings were very much alive.
Yeah.
And almost mocking my decision. And so what I felt like was, did I really forgive him? Because my feelings haven't changed. Listen, that's the temptation right there, to give up and say, "Well, it's not time yet." No, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time now.
Yeah.
This thing's dead the moment you say it's dead. The issue's over once you say it's over.
Yeah.
It's going to take a few days for your feelings to line up with it, though.
Yeah.
All right? It's going to take a few days for the evidence of that forgiveness to be known. Make the decision. And choose not to live by your feelings, but by the Word of God. Let it guide your life. Let it help you. Let it speak wisdom to you. Let it help you see what you can't see right now. Because if you'll follow it, you'll see what it's saying. If you'll do what it says, you'll see what the Bible is saying. You'll see the fruit of it. Can I get a good amen tonight? I hope that's helped you. Because here's the thing. You're not alone in your life. God is with you every step of the way. He sees things as they are. He sees things that you don't see. And His Word is what helps you see things as He sees them. It's what helps you. It gives you that instruction and correction and guidance and encouragement to cause you to always triumph in victory. To always have a victorious outcome in your life. So you have these eyes and they see things as they are or as they are not. But you need something greater than that. You need a greater thing than just this right here. All right? And I'm grateful for we're grateful for our eyes, right? We're grateful for our senses. But we don't only depend on that, because faith is completely out of the sensual realm. All right? It's perceiving as real fact the things that are not revealed to the senses. That's what Hebrews 11:1 Amplified Version says. So God's Word shows you what life can be or should be, and faith in His Word will empower you to change things as they are to things as they should be. It is the victory. Your faith in God is the victory that overcomes the world. It calls those things that be not as though they are. Why does it do that? Because things need to change. Things need to change. You're not born to succumb to circumstances. You were born to change them. All right? You're born to change them. The Word brings you back to where you belong. The Word gives you better understanding. The Word fills you with joy, and the Word helps you see what you can't see. Choose to let the Word do for you what God designed it to do, and know that it will always produce a victorious outcome in your life. Can we pray for a moment? Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. These wonderful people, Lord, thank you for this beautiful night, and again, thank you for this great, sweet rain, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Word, what it does for us, God. We need it, Lord. We hunger for it. We want to see it producing fruit in our lives, God. We're not satisfied with living average, ordinary lives, God. We want to live that life, God, that shines for your glory. We want to live a life that is extraordinary, God. We want to live a life that is supernatural, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us into this life. And when you said, "My ways are higher than your ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts," you weren't just drawing a contrast, Lord. You were saying, "I have another way for you to live. I have another thought for you to think. And if you'll listen to me, if you'll heed my words, words. You'll come up in life. Hallelujah. You will live the big life that I've called you to live. And you'll experience the abundance that I've come to give you. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to get bound in mediocrity, Lord, and to settle for just good enough. But, Father, to shake that off and say, no, I want everything that God has for me, Lord. That we will be people who live up to our potential, Lord. To live out our days, God, wide open for you, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now. I want to just take a moment for just, if everybody could just close their eyes for just a second, because I this is important. And I just want to talk to all of you here for a moment. Maybe there are some of you here tonight that you need to start with that choice to forgive. All right, you've been carrying around baggage with you way too long. You've been carrying these feelings with you, and all they do is eat you up. And you need rest, and you need peace. You need the joy of the Holy Ghost. You need to go to a level of victory in your life that you've not yet known because you've been holding this. You've been holding this in this resentment right now in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Eric, I'm making the decision right now. I'm raising. Just raise your hand. I want to look at you right now. I want to pray for you. Just right now. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, right now. You're letting it go. You're letting it go. And no matter how you're feeling about it, you're believing God's word tonight. You're believing Him. He forgave you, so you forgive others. Thank you, Lord, right now for being a very present help. Lord, you know what kind of hurt. You know what kind of things have been said and done to them. Lord, you know. And though many times, Lord, they felt, and I've done this, felt justified in how they feel, felt right, even had friends and people agree with them that they're right. But Father God, we don't want to just be right. We don't want to just live our lives to be right. We want to live for you. So Father God, I pray right now, you heal every hurt, every wound, Lord. There is no wound or cut that is too deep that your grace can't help right now, that you can't heal. So I'm praying for healing now. I declare restoration. I declare right now that, Lord, they've made this choice right now, that you would right now fill them with your joy. And that joy is their strength. And so, Father God, that in the days to come, as those feelings, Lord, begin to weaken and weaken and weaken until they can think about this person in a positive way and bless them and pray for them, Father God, I thank you right now, at this moment, you're with them in this moment. And you say, yes, I see you. I see you. And I honor your decision to forgive. And God is witness to this tonight. It's you and God saying, I'm with you. I'm going to help you. My family, let me say this to you. If Jesus, you can put your hands up, Jesus, as a man, God, as a man, could come and forgive us for the most vile things that, think about it, it wasn't just my sin. It wasn't just your sin. It was every man's sin. The most perverse, the most heinous kinds of things. And Jesus chose to forgive all of them. And don't you know that hurt him? Don't you know that grieved him? Yet he forgave them all. So there is no hurt that he can't heal. So just receive his healing tonight, Lord. Thank you for that. I declare over you tonight, those of you who have made this decision tonight, in the morning when you wake up, it's going to be a whole new experience. It's going to be a whole new thing. You're going to feel light in your shoes. You're going to feel like a weight has come off of you. Be prepared. Be prepared to laugh more. Be prepared for that, because that's what he's going to give you. He's going to fill you with joy. Where in all those places where there was sadness and gloom and hurt, those days are behind you. Those days are over. It's a new day. It's a victorious outcome. And from this day forward, you're pressing into victory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Jim.